This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And good morning. It's Friday. Finally made it. Going into a long holiday weekend. It's going to be a good one. September 4th, 2026. 77 degrees outside right now under clear, sunny skies. Again, if you want to be part of the show, we'd love to hear from you this morning. 405-608-4377. 405-608-4377. And we do have a whole bunch we want to get to this morning, and we definitely want you to weigh in. A crash in Choctaw leaves one person dead and six children hospitalized. What police are saying about that crash. Police say a truck driver may have been drunk when he slammed into a Jeep, killing two women. The latest on that investigation. An Oklahoma City woman will spend decades behind bars for severely beating her four-year-old daughter. The disturbing details on that one. New work requirements for SoonerCare recipients. Let's talk about that one later on this hour. Oklahoma County's growing population is putting a strain on its criminal justice system. The plan to fix the problem. And it's Labor Day weekend. Everything you need to know to keep yourself and your family safe in today's First Responder Friday. But first, your Freedom First News on Freedom 96.9. A deadly crash in Choctaw has claimed the life of a 25-year-old woman who had six children in the vehicle when she was driving. Police say that it happened last night near Northeast 23rd Street and North McDonald Road. It was a single-vehicle crash, and all six children were taken to the hospital. The children range in age from 3 months to 7 years old and are all in stable condition. Investigators are still working to determine just what caused that crash. A commercial truck driver may have been impaired when his vehicle crashed into a Jeep in Logan County, killing two women. Oklahoma Highway Patrol says 48-year-old Ralph Wallace was investigated for impaired driving after yesterday morning's crash at Highway 33 in South Broadway. The impact caused the Jeep to roll over, killing both women inside. They were both wearing seatbelts. Wallace was arrested on an allegation of first-degree manslaughter. He has not been formally charged yet, and the investigation continues. An Oklahoma County jury has convicted a 30-year-old Oklahoma City woman of child abuse, recommending 23 years in prison. Prosecutors say Jacqueline Rodriguez's 4-year-old daughter suffered a lacerated spleen, collapsed lung, broken elbow, and extensive bruising before spending a week in the hospital. The girl told investigators her mother and Rodriguez's boyfriend hit her and hurt her. Now 6 years old, she testified at the trial. Rodriguez maintains her innocence. Her boyfriend previously pleaded guilty and received 25 years in prison. Rodriguez will be sentenced on October 15th. New work requirements for some SoonerCare members taking effect on January 1st. An Oklahoma health care authority says letters are going out to people who may need to take action. Adults ages 19 to 64 will generally have to work 80 hours per month or meet a minimum earnings requirement. There are exemptions for groups including pregnant and postpartum women, parents or caregivers of children 13 and younger, and disabled veterans. Those who are found ineligible will have 30 days to comply with the new rules. Oklahoma County's growing population is putting a strain on its criminal justice system. The district attorney's office has filed 17% more cases so far this year compared with the same time in 2025, but the number of judges and courtrooms has not kept pace. Two judges currently share courtrooms, and the presiding judge says she plans to ask for three more judges. County officials are already adding two courtrooms with plans to add several more, but commissioners say the state creates judgeships while local taxpayers pay for the courtrooms. A major makeover is coming to one of Oklahoma City's oldest public housing complexes. The city and Oklahoma City Housing Authority have landed a $25 million federal grant to transform Will Rogers Courts in Oklahoma City. The 348 existing units will be demolished and replaced with modern mixed-income housing, along with an urban farm, Head Start facility, parks, trails, and better transportation. Residents will get help finding temporary housing and will have the right to return when the new apartments are completed. The first units are expected in 2029. Well, the company behind the proposed $4 billion aluminum smelter in Inola is cutting its proposed fluoride emissions limit by 37%. Oklahoma Primary Aluminum says the new limit would be the lowest ever produced for the United States in a primary aluminum plant. The company says the facility would capture about 99% of fluoride emissions, while promising additional pollution controls if testing shows the proposed limits are not safe. The move comes amid lawsuits and growing community opposition, with Attorney General Gettner Drummond seeking to stop the project. Norman City Councils have rejected a proposal to de-annex most of East Norman, at least for now. The Business and Community Affairs Committee considered removing land just east of 60th Avenue from city limits, with supporters arguing that it could reduce costs to Norman's general fund. But after discussing the proposal last night, councilors voted not to advance it. That means the sprawling, largely rural area will remain part of Norman, at least for the time being, despite concerns about the cost of maintaining roads and providing city services. And let's talk about this one for just a few minutes. If you want to weigh in, we'd love to hear from you. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. I think City Council in Norman, for the first time in a long time, actually did the right thing with this. De-annexing is really not the answer at this point. The fundamental question becomes, when an area becomes too expensive to serve, should a city find a way to serve it, or simply draw new lines around the rich people that can't afford it? De-annexation could have reduced Norman's responsibility for roads and services, but critics can argue that it really isn't fixing the underlying problem, that it's shrinking the city to try to make the numbers look better, feel better. So what would happen to the people who live there in the areas outside of the Norman area that were de-annexed? Residents could potentially lose access to city services or have those services provided under different arrangements. So the controversy is whether people should suddenly be treated as outside Norman simply because their area is too expensive to serve. Norman chose to annex it in the first place. Norman should have had some type of a plan for that annexation that's a long-term plan. And understand, too, we're growing as a community. Oklahoma City is growing dramatically. We talked a bit about that yesterday, but Norman is also growing. So that area that's currently annexed, that right now is primarily rural, at some point that area is going to be filled up too. Norman just has to kind of wait out the clock on that one and generate the tax money to keep things going until people start coming in and moving into that area. But Norman does have a whole lot of other social programs that they tend to prioritize. Therein lies one of the problems. So if Norman was worth bringing into the city before, if East Norman was worth bringing in, why is this suddenly too expensive to keep? Critics can characterize this as a city just trying to walk away from a commitment that it previously made. And that's exactly what it is. They made the deal. Now you got to stick with the deal. You're city council members. You were elected to do a job. Your job is to figure this out, guys. Figure it out. And what about future growth? So East Norman right now, it's largely rural, but that doesn't mean it's going to stay that way forever. De-annexing the area could give Norman less control over future development, infrastructure, and land use decisions. Could this encourage potentially sprawl? Removing that area of Norman could simply push development into county jurisdictions, which Norman has less control over how that growth occurs should that happen. So the big question, too, what happens to Lake Thunderbird and the watershed there? This is potentially one of the biggest controversies. East Norman includes Lake Thunderbird and its important watershed areas. So if you split the city, it makes it harder to coordinate water protection, development, and environmental planning. Who's going to be overseeing that? And, of course, it could create a patchwork of government. Instead of dealing with roads, water police, fire development, you could end up with Norman, the county, potentially a new township, all having different responsibilities. So it's a good idea that they decided not to de-annex. Now they just got to sit down, crunch the numbers, and figure out how to make it work. Well, it's Labor Day weekend, and for many of us, that means the last hurrah before the end of summer. But if you're going to be out celebrating, just know police will be out in full force looking for impaired drivers. Coming up, we'll be talking with Pottawatomie County Sheriff Freeland Wood. It's 77 degrees under clear, sunny skies at 7:15. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our Eye in the Sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Taking a look into Freedom Traffic, got a couple of construction problems causing issues. Bridge work eastbound I-44 at Klassen, May, and Northwest Expressway. Also, construction on Danforth between Santa Fe and Kelly.
We're talking about news and opinions from D.C. to OKC. We're Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app.
Hey there, I'm here chatting with Stephen Smith with ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, ICS has been serving the community for over 50 years. What's the secret behind your longevity?
It's our family-owned roots. We treat every project like it's for our own home, using top-tier Pentek polyurea coatings that are durable, stylish, and built to last. Our focus is on quality and making customers happy.
That's a legacy to be proud of. So what can homeowners or businesses expect when they work with ICS?
It's a seamless experience. We start with a free estimate, help you pick from a range of colors and finishes, and install in just one day. Your floor is ready for use the next morning. No more long waits.
Well, that's a service you can trust. So how do folks get started?
Just reach out and we'll take care of the rest with our lifetime warranty backing you up.
Well, get a floor that lasts with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or head to icsconcretecoatings.com for a free estimate today.
Hi, this is Jamie with Discount Garage Door, and we've got some amazing specials going on our stock doors. Right now, get an 8x7 garage door installed for just $10.99, a 16x7 for $16.99, or get the door and motor combo for just $23.99. These prices are out the door, installed, and every job comes with a 5-year warranty on all parts and labor. Give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
Hi, this is Major Meredith with the Oklahoma City Fire Department, reminding you to test alarms monthly, replace batteries if they chirp, and remember, smoke alarms should be replaced every 10 years. Make sure alarms are installed on every level of your home and near sleeping areas. For more information, go to okc.gov/fire. Residents of Oklahoma City can request free smoke alarms by visiting our website or calling 405-316-BEAT. That's 405-316-2337.
Hear the latest news and trending information that impacts your world on the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app, Oklahoma's talk radio.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
But Iran and Oman will take part in a revenue-sharing agreement as part of an interim deal to reopen the control of the Strait of Hormuz. That's a non-starter. What are you even doing? Number one, Oman's supposed to be an ally of ours, and you'd worked out a toll-sharing, revenue-sharing agreement with this outlaw nation, Iran? I mean, that is subversive.
The Brian Kilmeade Show, weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on the new Freedom 96.9. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
Good morning and welcome back. It's going to be a pretty toasty holiday weekend. We'll look for mostly sunny skies today. Hot with a high of 99 degrees tonight. Clear skies with a low of 74. Should be a nice night to sit outside. Saturday, hot and sunny with a high of 99 degrees. On Sunday, partly sunny. You guessed it, still hot. High of 99 degrees. Then on Monday, Labor Day, it'll be mostly sunny. High going up to 101 degrees.
This is First Responder Friday on Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbach.
Serve the public trust, protect the innocent, uphold the law.
The new Freedom 96.9.
Well, Labor Day weekend means one last big party before summer winds down, and that means more people out drinking and more impaired drivers on Oklahoma roads. Last year, 7 people were killed in Oklahoma in crashes over Labor Day weekend, 5 in alcohol or drug-related crashes. Law enforcement will be out in full force. Pottawatomie County Sheriff Freeland Wood joins us live. Morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning, sir.
You doing well?
Doing wonderful.
Good.
Yes, sir.
So I know the Oklahoma County Sheriff's Office where I work, this is one of those weekends that it's all hands on deck. Everybody's going to be out there looking specifically for impaired drivers. I'm guessing it's the same with you guys.
Yes, sir.
Talk to me a bit about that. What's the plan?
Well, what we'll do is we'll do a saturation patrol where they'll be out you know, watching or looking for drunk drivers and, you know, just keeping everybody safe.
And you guys really have a zero tolerance policy there when it comes to impaired driving.
Yes, sir, we do. Our guys work really hard and keeping our county safe and, you know, and everybody that's passing through. And so, I mean, we got some guys, especially on midnight shift, they work real hard on. I mean, you know, we don't have a lot out there, but they're working hard on it when they. We had one just arrest DUID just the other day, so they're doing a great job.
And there's a reason for it. You're not trying to ruin anybody's party. You're not trying to make things tough for anybody, but the year is 2026. By now, everybody knows that driving impaired is dangerous, and these days there are so many different options for not driving impaired. Kind of walk me through that a little bit. There's different ways that people can get home these days besides making the very poor decision to drive their vehicle drunk.
Oh, yes, for sure. I mean, they can plan ahead, you know, with Uber and out there. And, you know, and there's, I mean, we don't have a lot of taxis in Pottawatomie County, but I'm sure they do in Oklahoma County. But, you know, for us, you got your Uber drivers. You got your friends now that, you know, your designated driver. But, I mean, nowadays, though, I mean, they're really strict on DUIs, which we should be. As, you know, like I said, there's more people, obviously, a lot of crashes that, you know, people are losing their lives or just getting, you know, injured. And so, yeah, everybody's got options now to get a ride home.
And we're seeing, I know, at the Oklahoma County Sheriff's Office, unfortunately, we're seeing, fortunately, we're seeing a reduction in the number of DUIs, DUI arrests that we're making. But it seems like, at least anecdotally, when I'm out there on the streets, what I'm seeing is the people that we are pulling over for intoxicated driving, alcohol impairment, I see their numbers considerably higher than they have been in the past. So we're no longer talking the 0.08, 0.09. We're talking much higher numbers than that, a much higher level of intoxication. Are you guys kind of seeing the same trend?
You know, we work really hard with Shawnee, and Shawnee does works a lot of traffic too. And, you know, fortunately in our county, we don't have a lot of bars like they used to be back when I started in 87. I mean, there was probably 20 bars just in Shawnee and Pott County alone. So yeah, they are seeing a lot more intoxicated and higher level. And I really don't understand why. I mean, other than they're just drinking themselves really stupid and not calling an Uber. I can't explain it.
Yeah, and I wish I had an answer for it, too. It seems like, for some reason, that's kind of a trend. One of the other things that we're seeing a trend of nationally, and I think we're seeing here also, is we're seeing few and few younger people that are getting really, really drunk and then getting behind the wheel. And I think a lot of them, the alternative is they're using weed instead because, quote-unquote, medical marijuana has become so prevalent here in Oklahoma. And that's something I kind of want to talk to you a bit about, too, because just because I've got a medical marijuana card, that doesn't mean I can drive high.
Correct. Oh, yes. I mean, it's the same thing. And like you said, you're getting more and more of that. I mean, you know, even, you know, you got educators calling in when they're getting kids out of their car, keep people's cars, and they can smell the odor of marijuana in a car. And they're calling and, you know, asking, you know, us to check them out. So, yeah, I don't understand it either. I mean, I guess they think it's a free pass. It's not alcohol, so they can smoke pot and drive.
And that's it. That's kind of the prevailing thing that I'm seeing. As we're pulling people over, you walk up to the car. You can see the smoke billowing out of it like a Cheech and Chong movie. The guy leans out the window. His eyes are completely red. They're glazed over. He's slurring his speech and he smiles and he hands you his driver's license and his medical marijuana card like it's a get out of jail free card. And then he seems really surprised when you tell him, hey, just because you got the card doesn't mean you can drive high.
Correct. And I don't know, maybe I'm guessing it's lack of education or they're just not. Obviously, they're not making good choices, but I don't understand them either. And I don't know, maybe now that we're getting stricter, obviously, and they'll figure this out pretty quick.
Yeah, but I would think that it's common sense because most of these people would know that even though my doctor prescribes to me, let's say, morphine, for example, if I'm on a morphine prescription, that doesn't mean that I can drive while on morphine.
Right,
alcohol is legal. It doesn't mean I can drive while on alcohol.
Correct. I don't, I, just hard to explain. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, obviously they're not thinking. I don't, maybe this messes them more than we think, because, I mean, it, common sense says you can't smoke and drive, smoke pot and drive.
One other thing I kind of want to touch on you with is safety during this holiday weekend. A lot of us are going to be going out and hitting the lakes, especially when you got the kids with you. The kids get really excited. They're doing all the fun stuff. Oftentimes, when it's 101, 102, 103 degrees like it's supposed to be, we forget about the basics, chugging lots of water. Talk to me a little bit about that and the safety and especially heat-related stuff, because I know you guys have gone on quite a few heat-related things in the past month.
Yeah, so like I said, drink lots of water. Wear your life jackets and just, you know, keep an eye on your kids when you're out there. And also, I don't know about you, but in Pott County, we got a burn ban going on right now. And so, you know, as far as burning and charcoaling and stuff, you know, you got to be safe. And like, again, just like everything else, make good decisions, but, you know, and buckle up when you're headed to and from, and just be safe. Keep an eye on those babies. For sure.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point that I didn't even think about as far as the barbecuing goes. Oftentimes, the barbecue sits right in the middle of the back of my backyard. It's you're basically cooking on hay, and right, if you're using especially like a charcoal or a pellet type of thing, there's always that possibility that you might have some type of an ember drop out and start a fire. And we're seeing grass fires that are just, pardon the pun, they're taking off like wildfires, and you guys are seeing the same things out there, too. Kind of talk to me a bit more about that, the importance of really being cautious while you're cooking.
Oh, yes. Just, you be safe. Keep an eye on your grill. I mean, a lot of people want to go out and start cooking and then go in for a little bit and come back out, and I've seen that where, you know, all of a sudden your whole field's on fire, and no different than when they used to burn in barrels. Just keep an eye on your cooker, and just, you know, have water and have something nearby. That way you can put it out if it does take off on you.
And going to hit you on just one more thing, whether it's seeing what we think might be an intoxicated driver or seeing smoke or seeing somebody who's acting in a reckless way. Oftentimes folks say, well, I don't want to call the police. I don't want to bother them. It's probably nothing. In this case, if you see something, say something.
Exactly. And the big thing with us here is you see it on Facebook before, but they never have called 911. And, you know, it's important to report it. And then, you know, I mean, you can gripe later, but get on the phone, report it, get a tag number. I mean, we may not catch the person, but at least we'll know who it is and we can report it to another agency.
And that's why emergency responders are there. We're there to respond.
Right. Exactly.
Don't be afraid to make the call.
Amen. That's for sure.
Freeland, thanks so much for calling in, man. It's always a pleasure talking with you. You have yourself a really safe and fun holiday weekend, okay?
You too, sir. Have a great day.
Well, we still have a whole bunch we want to talk about this morning. We definitely want you to weigh in. A deadly crash in Choctaw leaves 6 children hospitalized. What police are saying about what happened? Well, police say a truck driver may have been impaired when he slammed into a Jeep, killing 2 women. The latest on that investigation. An Oklahoma City woman is facing decades behind bars after her 4-year-old daughter was severely injured. The disturbing details on that one. Brand new work requirements are coming for some sooner care recipients. What you need to know. And Oklahoma County's growing population is putting a strain on the criminal justice system. The plan to add more judges and more courtrooms. It's 77 degrees. There is a heat advisory in effect right now under clear skies at 729. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9.
USA Radio News. I'm John Summers. Vice President J.D. Vance won't say if the U.S. has plans to help the Iranian people overthrow the regime.
There are a lot of course, additional tools that we have at our disposal. Some of those the president will use and some of them he won't.
A Republican congressman says Senator Mitch McConnell's hoping to return to Capitol Hill when the Senate reconvenes September 14th. New Jersey Governor Mikey Sherrill railed against the Trump administration after the state was denied FEMA relief. An ICE agent's federally charged with lying about events leading up to the shooting of a Venezuelan alien in the leg. Northwest Arkansas is powering most of the state's job growth. Bureau of Labor Statistics data released Wednesday show Fayetteville, Springdale, Rogers payrolls grew 2.6% over the past year, nearly four times the statewide rate of 0.7%. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Noble McIntyre with the McIntyre Minute. Let me pull back the curtain on something that frustrates almost everyone after a wreck, the property damage offer. Insurance companies know that most people don't even hire a lawyer for the car side of the claim. So what do? They make lowball offers hoping you'll cash that check before realizing the true value of your vehicle or the diminished value claim that comes after a major repair. When they decide whether your car is totaled, they use formulas that benefit them, not you. And once you accept that quick payment, the property damage case is over. Too many Oklahomans lose thousands of dollars because they're rushed or pressured. So remember, you're allowed to question your valuation, you're allowed to push back, and you're allowed to know the truth. And I am Noble McIntyre, giving you the inside scoop on what insurance companies wish you didn't hear. If you need me, you can find me at McIntyreLaw.com or call me at 777-7000. Catch our show, Legal Talk with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9. I'm Noble McIntyre, and that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Kraft. Elk City police are searching for 53-year-old John Diaz, who's wanted on felony warrants alleging rape by instrumentation and child sexual abuse. He's described as 5'8", about 190 pounds, with black hair and brown eyes. Police warn the public not to approach him and immediately contact 911. A woman awaits sentencing after being convicted of abusing her 4-year-old daughter, who suffered numerous serious injuries and required emergency surgery. Investigators say the girl told them she was hit by her mother, Jacqueline Rodriguez, and her boyfriend, Brian Padierna, who pleaded guilty last year and was sentenced to 25 years in prison. A jury recommended 23 years in prison for Rodriguez, with formal sentencing scheduled to be held October 15th. Oklahoma cattle producers are criticizing a new Trump administration policy allowing more lean beef trimmings to enter the country at lower tariff rates, saying it could make it harder to rebuild the nation's historically small cattle herd. The 90-day policy allows up to 100,000 metric tons of lean beef trimmings to be imported each month, with the administration arguing it'll increase supplies and help lower beef prices. Oklahoma cattle leaders Scott Bluebaugh and Michael Kelsey say the move could discourage ranchers from keeping young female cattle needed to rebuild herds after years of drought and high costs. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
McGriff Fortifies Oklahoma, live Saturday morning, 8 a.m., Sunday at 1. Call in your questions to roofing specialist Scott McCullum. McGriff Fortifies Oklahoma. Find out more at mcroof.us and tune in to our show on Freedom 96.9.
Gentlemen, this Saturday, over 180 head will sell at the 27th Annual Oklahoma Angus Association Gathering Sale. Make plans now to be at the Carroll Cattle Company sale facility near Perkins. The OAA gathering sale will include 70 registered Angus lots and 100 commercial Angus and black Baldy spring calving bred heifers. Most are AI bred to calve early spring. This is a high quality consignment you don't want to miss. The Oklahoma Angus Association gathering sale this Saturday at noon. For more information and to view the catalog, visit mcsauction.com.
Foundation Churches at Western Days in Mustang. Stop by our booth, spin the prize wheel, and enter for your chance to win a flat screen TV. It's fun for the whole family, and we'd love to meet you. Find out more at foundationchurch.live.
If I were to meet with the mom and find out that she was hesitant to do the newborn screening or didn't want to poke on her baby, the thing I would encourage them is, that newborn screening saved my daughter's life. And if you can save your baby's life with a little heel poke, I'd say it's worth it.
Ask your healthcare provider about newborn screenings for your child.
Hi, this is Major Meredith with the Oklahoma City Fire Department. Sudden cardiac arrest can happen to anyone, anywhere, and immediate action can save a life. Our hands-only CPR class teaches you how to recognize cardiac arrest, call 911, and perform effective chest compressions until firefighters or first responders arrive. No medical background is needed, just the willingness to help. Visit okc.gov/fire for more information on how to schedule free training for your business, group, or organization.
Freedom.
Weather. Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today will bring mostly sunny skies with a brisk breeze, creating hot conditions with a high of 99. Tonight will be clear with a low of 74. Tomorrow expect blazing sunshine and warm weather as temperatures reach a high of 99. Sunday will be partly sunny and hot with a high of 99. Monday will continue with mostly sunny skies and hot conditions, reaching a high of 101. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Katarina.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And welcome back. It's Friday, September 4th, the Friday before a nice long holiday weekend. Hope you have a safe and fun one. 77 degrees outside right now under clear sunny skies at 736. Oh, wait a second. Let me grab that real quick. Hi, Freedom 96.9.
Hello, Aaron. This is funeral director Turwood Gravely.
Oh, Turwood.
With a question for your listeners about the trends in the funeral industry.
Okay.
One of your listeners asked me, will glass-topped coffins become the newest trend? And to that I say, remains to be seen. Turwood Gravely, now back to you.
Joke was dead on arrival. Let's check out your Freedom First News now on Freedom 96.9. A deadly crash in Choctaw has claimed the life of a 25-year-old woman who had six children in her vehicle that she was driving. Police say the crash happened last night near Northeast 23rd Street and North McDonald Road. It was a single-vehicle crash, and all six children were taken to a local hospital. The children range in age from 3 months to 7 years old and are all in stable condition. Investigators are still trying to determine exactly what caused the crash. Police say a commercial truck driver may have been impaired when his vehicle slammed into a Jeep in Logan County, killing two women. The Oklahoma Highway Patrol says 48-year-old Ralph Wallace was investigated for impaired driving after yesterday morning's crash on Highway 33 in South Broadway. The impact caused the Jeep to roll over, killing 70-year-old Elizabeth Rosen and 64-year-old Jenny Killo. Both women were wearing seatbelts. Wallace was arrested on an allegation of first-degree manslaughter, but has not been formally charged. An Oklahoma County jury has convicted 30-year-old Oklahoma City woman of severely abusing her 4-year-old daughter, recommending 23 years in prison. Prosecutors say Jacqueline Rodriguez's daughter suffered a lacerated spleen, collapsed lung, broken elbow, and extensive bruising, requiring emergency surgery and a week in the hospital. Investigators say the girl told them that her mother and Rodriguez's boyfriend hit her and hurt her. Now 6 years old, the girl testified at the trial. Rodriguez maintains her innocence. Her boyfriend pleaded guilty and received 25 years in prison. Well, new work requirements are coming for some Sooner Care recipients beginning in January. The Oklahoma Healthcare Authority says letters are being sent out to people who may need to take action to remain eligible. Adults age 19 through 64 will generally have to work 80 hours per month or meet minimum earning requirements. There are exemptions for groups including pregnant women and postpartum women, parents and caregivers of children 13 years old and younger, or disabled veterans. Those determined ineligible will have 30 days to comply. Oklahoma's growing population is putting an increased pressure on the criminal justice system. The district attorney's office has filed 17% more cases so far this year than during the same period last year. But the number of judges and courtrooms has not kept pace. Two judges currently share courtrooms, and the presiding judge says she plans to ask for three more judges. County officials are adding two courtrooms with plans for even more, but commissioners point out the state creates the judgeships while local taxpayers are paying for the courtrooms. A major makeover is coming to one of Oklahoma City's oldest public housing complexes. The city and Oklahoma City Housing Authority have received $25 million in federal grants to transform Will Rogers Courts in South Oklahoma City. The 348 existing units will be demolished and replaced with modern, mixed-income housing along with an urban farm, Head Start facility, parks, trails, and improved transportation. Residents will receive help from finding temporary housing and have the right to return when construction is complete. The first new units are expected in 2029. Norman city councilors have rejected, at least for now, a proposal to split the city, de-annexing most of East Norman. The proposal would have moved the land east of 60th Avenue from the city limits, with supporters arguing that it would save Norman money by eliminating the cost of maintaining hundreds of miles of rural roads and providing services. But businesses and Community Affairs Committee voted on Thursday not to advance the proposal. For now, the sprawling eastern portion of Norman remains part of the city, and the debate over whether Norman can afford to serve it continues. The company behind the proposed $4 billion aluminum smelter in Inola is cutting its fluoride emissions limit by 37%. Oklahoma Primary Aluminum says the new limit would be the lowest ever proposed for a U.S. primary aluminum plant. The company says the facility would capture about 99% of fluoride emissions and would add pollution controls if testing shows the proposed limits are not safe. But the project remains very controversial, with lawsuits from residents and Attorney General Gettner Drummond, who is seeking to stop the smelter altogether. And let's talk about this one for just a little bit, because I want to hear from you. This is certainly one of those controversial stories where everybody's got an opinion. We definitely want to get yours at 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. I'm all for the plant. It's important for national security, and it means a whole lot of jobs for Oklahoma. Plus, it's going to dramatically reduce property tax prices for people living in Inola. You're going to see a ripple effect where you see, as a result of this, restaurants cropping up in the area. You're going to see retail. You're going to see more housing. You're going to see different types of businesses that are associated with supporting the plant. That said, don't give the company a free pass. Make it prove that the plant is safe. And if it does, don't let politics prevent Oklahoma from taking advantage of this once-in-a-generation manufacturing and national security opportunity. This is a great opportunity for us. Don't blow it. It's exactly the kind of manufacturing that Oklahoma has been trying to attract for some time now. The project is expected to create about 1,000 permanent, high-paying jobs and roughly 4,000 construction jobs. The company estimates thousands of additional jobs will be supported elsewhere in the economy. This isn't just another factory going up. This is a national security issue. The U.S. currently relies heavily on imported aluminum. The Justice Department says primary aluminum is crucial for producing aircraft, for making missiles, for armored vehicles, for naval systems, and for other defense applications. America has allowed over the years its aluminum industry to all but disappear. Back when our grandparents were still walking around on this country, aluminum was a very, very big business nationwide. These days, we have very few smelters. The Energy Department says there are only four of them operating right now in the United States, producing dramatically less than the country historically produced. So then the Inola factory would be the first new one in the United States since 1980. The company is responding to the environmental criticisms rather than ignoring it. The proposed fluoride emissions, which are those dangerous emissions that we're concerned about, the intensity has been reduced 37% from the original proposal. The OPA says that would be the lowest fluoride emission intensity limit ever proposed in the United States for an aluminum plant. So this thing is going to be clean. 405-608-4377 if you want to be part of the conversation. 405-608-4377. It's 77 degrees and sunny at 744. We're talking about the Inola smelting plant and the concerns that people have about that plant. The plant is now saying, or maybe the organizers of the plant say, that they're going to be reducing by 37% the amount of emissions, the fluoride emissions. Those are the more dangerous emissions that everybody is concerned about. They're saying that basically they're going to be able to harness 99% of those and be able to reuse them, which is pretty incredible. There are multiple layers of environmental oversight here. It's not just simply the company saying, we're going to decide what's safe. The Department of Environmental Quality is conducting air modeling, soil vegetation assessments, and the EPA is conducting the oversight. There's going to be a public comment process before a final permit is issued. That 99% figure that I was just talking about, that's pretty significant. The company says the facility will capture and reuse about 99% of the fluoride emissions. That's different from saying the plant will emit zero fluoride. So the strongest argument is that the technology is designed to dramatically minimize releases. There's an economic incentive, though, for the company to capture that fluoride. Fluoride isn't just a pollutant. Aluminum fluoride is a pretty valuable raw material. It's used in the smelting process. The company says recovering it and reusing it makes economic sense for them as well, and it also makes environmental sense. So it's really in their best interest to capture and reuse this fluoride as opposed to just spewing it off into the air. It really isn't an either-or choice when it comes to jobs and environmental protection. In America, it's a serious, if we're really serious about rebuilding domestic manufacturing, like President Trump says that we have to be, and reducing our dependence on foreign countries for materials critical to national defense, where exactly are we supposed to build these facilities? And why not in Inola? It's much better than relying on China. If for some reason we find ourselves, like right now we're in an economic war with China, what if that escalates to a more serious war with China? Do we want to be relying upon China to give us the aluminum that we need for our defense if we're in the midst of a war with China? We used to be self-reliant as a country. Again, back in your grandparents' day, we were completely self-reliant as a country. These days, not so much so. We've sent out to other countries the types of things that we need to be doing. Our computer chips, our aluminum, our metal. We're in the midst of a battle right now with Canada over wood. These are all things that we need to be and should be producing here in America in order to be self-sufficient, because self-sufficiency is also self-defense. We need to be able to protect ourselves by producing the stuff that we need to protect ourselves. The federal government says the U.S. now produces less than 1% of the world's primary aluminum, while China's the dominant producer. The Inola project would more than double the current U.S. primary aluminum production. That's exactly what we need. So build it, regulate it, reap the benefits, and cash those checks. New work requirements for some Sooner Care recipients will take effect on January 1st. Adults ages 19 through 64 will generally have to work 80 hours per month or meet an earnings requirement to remain eligible. There are some exemptions for parents, pregnant women, and disabled veterans. The Oklahoma Healthcare Authority is sending letters to people who may be affected. So what's your take on this? Is this fair? Should there be work requirements? And what if people don't meet those requirements? Let's talk about it. 405-608-4377 is the number if you want to be part of the show. 405-608-4377. 77 degrees and sunny at 748. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com.
Taking a look into Freedom Traffic. Got a couple of construction problems causing issues. Bridge work eastbound I-44 at Klassen, May, and Northwest Expressway. Also, construction on Danforth between Santa Fe and Kelly.
Celebrating 250 years of freedom. This is Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com. Our hosts are always right.
Hi, this is Jamie with Discount Garage Door, and we've got some amazing specials going on our stock doors. Right now, get an 8x7 garage door installed for just $10.99, a 16x7 for $16.99, or get the door and motor combo for just $23.99. These prices are out the door, installed, and every job comes with a 5-year warranty on all parts and labor. Give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
Hey, I'm here with Stephen Smith, owner of ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, what makes ICS the top choice for concrete floors?
At ICS, we use polyurea coatings. It's 4 times stronger than the traditional epoxy. They're resistant to scratches, oil stains, and even UV fading, making them ideal for garages, patios, or even commercial spaces. Plus, they come with a lifetime warranty for homeowners.
Now that's some tough stuff. So how do these coatings hold up in Oklahoma's crazy weather?
Man, they're built for it. Crack resistant and able to handle extreme heat or cold. And the best part? Our polyurea cures in hours, so your floor's ready the next day with no downtime.
Wow, fast and durable. That's a winning combo. What's the first step for listeners?
Just give us a call for a free, no-obligation estimate, and we'll customize the solution for your space.
All right, guys, don't wait. Transform your floors with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or visit icsconcretecoatings.com for your free estimate today.
Red, white, and boots. Mustang Western Days 2026, September 11th and 12th. With events and activities for all ages, kids can enjoy the Stampede Fun Run, parade, pet show, best-dressed cowboy and cowgirl contest, art show, games and activities at Wild Horse Park. New this year, the Jelly Ball. Also, the Mustang Roundup Club IPRA Rodeo on both nights on the 11th and 12th, 8 o'clock. And more with the 5K Fun Run, Car Show, Chuck Wagon Roundup, Vendor Booth, Chili Cook-Off, plus live entertainment at Wild Horse Park. It's a weekend of good family entertainment. For more information, visit MustangWesternDays.com.
From the Strait of Hormuz to the Oklahoma City oil field, we're the local talk station you can depend on. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
Iran just doesn't seem to be able to get out of the news. And the whole week, we've got an economic summit in Asheville, North Carolina, between the top 20 global economic powers. There's so much happening in the world. It's my job to get you through the headlines and give you the analysis. And I'll tell you what I think about it. I'll also take your phone calls at 877-973-7425. It's Eric Erickson and the Eric Erickson Show, live weekdays 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillback.
Good morning and welcome back to this Friday going into Labor Day weekend. It's going to be a long and fun weekend. Hot one, though. Mostly sunny today with a high of 99 degrees. Tonight, clear skies, low of 74. On Saturday, hot and sunny, high of 99. Then on Sunday, partly sunny and hot, high of 99 degrees. For your Monday, Labor Day, mostly sunny, high going up to 101 degrees. It's 77 degrees and sunny at 752. So apparently Benny from Oklahoma City has a beef with the beef. Morning, Benny. How are you, brother?
Good. I'm well, sir. I don't have beef about beef personally. I mean, I like it.
I love beef.
But I think this importing, if the news reporting is accurate that you read, of trimmings, going to actually, for making ground meat,
yeah,
is going to bring down the price of the solid cuts of meat. Ain't going to happen because hamburger is made from all of the trimmings of all of the other primal cuts that are turned into steaks and chops,
yep,
and roasts and what have you. And the cost of why beef is so high is a combination of factors. The increased price of fuel for transportation,
right,
to the slaughterhouse and then to market. The droughts, the wildfires destroying grazing,
mm-hmm,
for both the growing season and winter feeding season.
And it's reducing the herds.
None of those factors can be controlled by governmental policy.
So what do you think about the president's plan to import more beef into the country to lower the prices and give beef producers a chance to expand the herds again?
Well, it doesn't do anything about the factors I just covered. All it does is maybe bring down the price of hamburger a little bit,
yeah,
but won't be that much because you still have the transportation costs of getting it into our country.
You're right. And I was thinking the same thing when he announced it. I'm thinking, on its face, not a bad idea, but the reality is...
It sounds good, but reality is different.
And when you're talking about, so as of this morning, we've got the highest diesel prices on record.
Yep.
The president needs to focus on, and again, I'm a huge Trump supporter, but that doesn't mean I have to agree with everything he says.
I like his policies overall.
Yep.
I certainly do, but he's made some unforced errors, and I think his ego and gets in his way sometimes about renaming some things.
Yeah, and I think you're right.
And the idea that he can make a deal with fanatics is dead wrong, and it's dragging this out much longer than it should have gone on. Yes, it needed to happen, I think, but should have kept the foot on the gas and finished it
100%. And I don't like talking a whole lot of national and international politics during the morning show. We try to keep it local, but
this has a local impact. I prefer that too, but that does affect local.
100%. And I'm with you. I think that when we had him against the ropes, we should have kept on punching. Yep. You don't stop a fight midway through just because somebody cries uncle.
You let him get off the pimp mat, you're liable to get your butt beat.
And that's exactly what's happening. We're giving them just enough time to recover. They catch their breath and they start swinging again. And,
yep. And they got our enemies are supplying them.
Yep.
Through back channels.
It's time to start dropping some serious bombs, getting control of the situation before the midterms, because if we don't, we're going to lose the midterms. And the president's going to face his entire remaining 2 years in court battle after court battle after battle instead of doing anything to further his agenda. Yeah. And what they're going to do over those 2 years is do everything they can to increase prices even more so that they can convince voters the only way to solve this is by electing AOC.
Well, if we go in that direction, this country will be finished as a constitutional republic, in my opinion.
At that point, we become a socialist society. And that's when you and me pack our stuff and go move to Australia.
Well, I used to think I'd like to, but their firearms policies and my constitutional Second Amendment rights do not jibe.
Yeah. But and the other thing is too, they've got really, really big bugs over there. And if it weren't for the bugs, man, I mean, it's paradise over there. It's gorgeous. The weather's beautiful. But the bugs, no, man. When you got a spider that's got like a 4 foot span, no, not into it.
Well,
that's what you need the firearms
everything
for.
Everything over there either bites, scratch, or stings.
Yeah, we're the lowest ones on the food chain. Benny, thanks so much for calling
thanks
in, man.
For the
I appreciate
time. Have a great
you.
Weekend, Mr.
You take care, brother. Be good. Well, there's a big change coming in for some Sooner Care recipients. Starting on January 1st, adults 19 to 64 years old will generally have to work 80 hours per month or meet an earnings requirement to keep their benefits. Options including for parents, pregnant women, disabled veterans. The Oklahoma Healthcare Authority is already sending out letters, though, to people who could be affected. What's your take on this? Is this a good idea? 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. I think it's a good idea. If you're able to work, you should be working. A lot of us are working 2-3 jobs just to pay the bills right now. It's enough that I've got to pay as much as I'm paying to keep my own family afloat. I shouldn't have to pay for people who are too lazy to get a job. The basic idea is simple. If you're able to work, you ought to be working. There's dignity that comes from work. All of us feel better after a hard day's work where we've accomplished something. Nobody has ever sat in a chair and done nothing all day long except for nothing and feel better about themselves as a result of it. The argument's not here that Sooner Care, people on Sooner Care, that everybody needs a job. It's that able-bodied adults who aren't working should have some obligation to work or to train or to meet some type of an earnings requirement in exchange for taxpayer-funded benefits. You and I are paying for this. We should get something in return. This isn't a requirement for everybody. Again, there are some exemptions for groups like pregnant women, postpartum women, parents and caregivers of younger children under 13 years old, and disabled veterans. I'm perfectly cool with that. But the goal here should be, as with any government assistance program, the goal should be independence. The best outcome isn't keeping somebody on government assistance indefinitely. It's helping people get into the workforce, earn a paycheck, and eventually no longer need that safety net. Sooner Care should be under that heading. Sooner Care should not be a lifelong benefit. Sooner Care should be getting you from point A to point B, point B being a successful career. Sooner Care is publicly funded. People who are capable of contributing to the workforce should be making at least a reasonable effort to do so rather than relying on its benefits. And 80 hours a month, that's not even a full-time job. 20 hours per week, framed that way, there's no reason any able-bodied adult can't do it. Hey, thanks so much for joining us on this Friday. Hope yourself a really, really great and safe weekend.